kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
We're calling our teaching today, Humility Deals with Worldliness. Humility Deals with Worldliness. And I want to take this from a passage in James chapter 4 and verses 7 to 10, which we know very well. But let's just read this. James chapter 4, verses 7 to 10, and it says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. This is one of the great passages and few verses of how to get the enemy off your back. And very often this is neglected in preaching and teaching, and yet it's so profound and very powerful in its delivery. You see, often humility starts when things go wrong. The Lord permits things in our lives to go wrong so that he can get our attention. It's what sin has done in the world. We're so hard at listening and understanding. And this is why we go through much trial and tribulation of which to enter into the kingdom of heaven. These trials that the Lord permits us and allows us to go through are to get our attention. We're dull of hearing, or we don't want to hear. It can be a number of issues with us. But humility starts so often when things have gone wrong, or they go from bad to worse. When we eventually come to the end of ourselves, where this trial, this situation is completely out of control, then it seems we're ready to listen to God and to his word. Or it could be that we are chastened by the Lord for a season where the blessings and peace are not there in our lives as they should be. So again, God is getting our attention because we know that whom the Lord loves, he chastens. That's what a heavenly Father does. Now, this book, James, just in passing, did you know that James was the brother of Jesus? And this was probably written, this epistle, round about 45 to 50 AD. Now, James was head of the church at Jerusalem. And he was a man of great authority in that church. In other words, many listened to his sound teachings and example. For example, let's just look at a few scriptures to understand who this man is. This is Jesus's brother. We forget that Jesus had a family. And if we look in Acts 12 and verse 17, Acts 12 and verse 17, And it says here, but motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go tell these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. This is where Peter was freed from prison. The angel came and delivered him and brought him out of prison. And note who they are to go and mention it to. He says, go and tell it to James and the brethren. So there's a reason why this is to be said to him. Let us also look at Acts 15, Acts chapter 15, verses 13 to 18. And after they had become silent, James answered, saying, men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophet agree, just as it is written, after this I will return, and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild the ruins, I will set it up, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things, known to God from eternity are all his works. So again, we see he is addressing here the fact that God is now having mercy on Gentiles. He is saving them. So we're beginning to get an understanding of the authority and how God was using this man. And I love verse 18. And this is a verse I have underlined, and I have it for a reason. Known to God from eternity are all his works. So God knows from the beginning when he created. And that verse deals with evolution or devolution, the devil's lie. God knows his works from the beginning, when he created the heavens and the earth. Just in passing, I thought that that would be an interesting verse to bring up. So, James here then concludes that Gentiles are not required to be proselytized. In other words, to be circumcised, because circumcision now is of the heart, whether Jew or Gentile. We know that James, that's Christ's brother, was converted through his brother's resurrection. It made a profound impact on him and others as well, of course. And he also writes letters to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. And if we just turn to James chapter 1 and verse 1, he says, James, a bondservant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. So we get just an insight, don't we, of how important this brother was in the early church, and what authority God had placed upon him with the church at Jerusalem and to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. So I thought that that would just be interesting to know a little bit of the fact that Jesus had a family and he had a brother who after, when he was resurrected, was wonderfully converted. And he too is in the ministry being used in the early church. Well, having said all of this, Oh, and in passing as well, it's just interesting to note that this epistle was probably one of the first epistles to be written in the New Testament. And it's interesting that in its nature, it deals about practical living, how to live and walk and act as a believer, which of course we're seeing here. Well, let's go back to what we're looking at here in James chapter 4 and in verse 7, where he says, "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Now, this word here, submit, in the Greek, it's called hupotassio, and it's a word which means to be subject to, or this is where we get the word to obey, to submit under control. We also get the word from this, which we often use, the word to yield to God, yield to the Spirit. But it's also a Greek military term, which means to come under a command or under leadership. And that is really what I want to look at in this. And we get this same word that's used many, many times in the New Testament, but I just want to pick out one or two scriptures just to understand what this word means. For example, in Luke 10 and verse 17, in Luke 10 and verse 17, this is where the 70 disciples return with joy because they have seen the power in the name of Jesus. And in verse 17, it says, "Then the 70 returned with great joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." Here is this same word used again, in terms of military terms, to come under a commander or a leadership. So in many ways, we get an understanding that Jesus is our commander and he is given all authority. And that is why we can use his name, particularly against the powers of darkness, which we're going to look at later on. We see the same word, Greek word, used again, hupotasso, Romans 8 and verse 7. In Romans 8, and verse 7, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be." Here is this same word again, to be subject. So the mind, the carnal mind, if not in Christ, will not be subject, will not obey the command of God. And that is what sin has done to man's mind. And so because it's done that to man's mind, the devil has taken over man's mind and blinded his eyes because he's the god of this world. And finally, this word in Romans 13 and verse 1, 13 and verse 1, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authority, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." So all authorities, governments, whatever they are, they are subject to the authority of God, and they are appointed by God. And that is why we as Christians can rest in God, because whatever is going on, and the news is horrendous at the moment with what is going on in the Middle East, Palestine, Israel, and so on, wars, rumors of wars and everything, they are all subject to the authority of God. And we forget this. And the reason we forget this, because we still allow fear and confusion to get in. But we, with our prayers and intercessions, knowing the authority that we are subject to, that name that we can use, we're able to wield our prayers effectively, that are led by God. So we have to remember that God is in complete authority. They are appointed by God. And this is why our prayers and intercessions have to be led by him, not going against his will. And so often we have to be waiting on God for leading and guidance with our prayers. Sometimes we're too quick to go in and start binding and loosening, and God isn't always in it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your path. This is why waiting on God is essential for the Christian, because we have to wait on him to be led, to be guided, certainly with prayer, and most certainly in warfare. Very important. I sometimes have waited for periods of times, sometimes up to a week. I know there's to be spiritual warfare, but I haven't had the clearance. I've not had the go ahead yet. Because we also have to do it in God's timing. Why all of this? Because he's teaching us that we are subject to authority, to leading, to guidance. We are being trained. And it's not a wrong thing to think of our Lord Jesus Christ as our commander, giving us the orders, you see. So that again is important for us to understand this in the light of getting the enemy off our backs. This is what we've been looking at. So going back to James then, in verse 7, therefore submit to God. That is what it means. We submit, we don't retaliate, we don't react. We know that he is completely in authority. He has all authority. He has all power, might, and dominion. The Father has given him this. And so we wait on him in order to submit to God. You see, we don't always submit straight away, do we? Sometimes we're having problems. We're battling with our will and his will. So we need to give ourselves time. And this is where a prayer life is so vital. We are often saying to you, get into the word and prayer. Because prayer enables us to be able to get ourselves right, to be able to be sensitive, to listen to him, because he's speaking to us, but we don't always hear. That's the problem. Be still and know that I am God. Just being still and knowing that he is God is absolutely vital. There have been times I have come before the Lord's presence and I have just said to him, Lord, I'm not bringing a list before you because you know it anyway. I'm just here before you because that is what I want. I'm here before you to listen to you, to wait on you. I want to hear from you, not you always hearing from me. You need to try that, brothers and sisters, and I think you're going to be in for a great surprise. And the surprise will be is how much we miss hearing from God. Because when you hear from God, you are never the same. It penetrates deep into the heart. So these are just some of the things we need to consider with regard to submitting to God. And then he says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, I'm going to say in passing, the devil is never going to flee until you first have submitted. That's why submitting first is there. Letting go, not fighting, not resisting. Submit to the will of God, no matter what it looks like. And very often it can look very negative. It can look unfair. Whatever it would be, but he said, just submit to me, my will. The same as Jesus had to submit to his Father before he went to the cross, and he settled that in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You then are empowered in which to resist him. Now, this Greek word to resist is a Greek word, anthistomi. And this word is interesting. It's the verb to set oneself against. Or it means to withstand. And this is where we get the word resist. I just want to show a scripture. Again, this Greek word is used many, many times in the New Testament, but here is one in Luke 21 and verse 15. Luke 21 and verse 15. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. And there we are. This is what he says. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries or your enemies will not be able to contradict or resist. Fight against it, in other words. You are empowered by the Spirit when you speak in that hour. And I thought that that was quite a good illustration in regard to using this word. You see, this is all about, isn't it, the flesh desiring the world. Because he says here, going back to James 4, in verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So we've already shown you, submit to him. Then when you've submitted, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Not he might flee from you, he will. Because you've done it God's way. How do you think Jesus resisted the devil in his temptation in the wilderness? He was submitted to his Father. Their oneness, their love, their commitment could not be broken. And it's the same with us. We have to be one, that unbroken fellowship with the Lord, in which then to be able to resist the devil. We will resist the devil because we will see his lies, his deception. We will be able to resist the devil because we are one in fellowship with our Heavenly Father. And we have had our eyes open to his deception, that if I do this or I go that way, he shows me, you have an insight of what can happen or what could happen. And of course, this is where he's dealing with the flesh, the desires of the flesh, what the world offers. You see, he lies to us and he tells us that we can find peace and contentment in the world. This is where you're going to be happy. You're going to be contented. You're going to have joy. You're going to have peace. That's why we do it at times. Or sometimes we just think, oh, give me a break. I want 24 hours off this Christian walk. I just want to go my own way. Only to find that we're just tormented in our minds. It doesn't bring peace. It doesn't bring contentment. The world out there, the lust for the world out there, is our spiritual drug taking. This is why people go to drugs and alcohol, to try and get contentment and peace. They think the world can give them that. That is Satan's biggest lie and deception. And we fall for it. And you know why we fall for it? Because we have not considered that we submit to God. If you're having trouble, the world is becoming very strong in your life, you're looking for a substitute, turn back, submit to God, wait on him. Because then he will give you the power in his name to be able to resist the devil when he comes. This is why I'm always trying to say this walk is not about works. It's not about you trying to resist, trying to get the devil off your back. You can't. Don't even attempt it. It only comes when you submit to him. You come under his command. You are not willing to fight or resist. It's that yielding, as we so often say. Then he says you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. In other words, that resisting is in the power of the Spirit, not by might, not by power, by my Spirit, says the Lord. You see, Satan also appeals to our desires. In other words, he says, that's all right, go for it. How often do you hear people or families say, yeah, go on, go for it, and so on. Little realizing that it may cost you not entering into the kingdom of heaven. We're so fooled, we're so gullible, we're so vulnerable at times, and we have to be on our guard. And the only way this is ever going to change in our lives when we submit, which we've been looking at. What do we mean by this? Well, we know what we mean by it, but it means to settle it. To settle on commitment. There are no other choices. When you have settled God in your life, you realize there is nothing else. There's no substitute. This is it. I faced it full on. Commitment, settling it. And when you settle that, then you're not torn between the world and God, which so much of Christendom is today. And the world is spiritual idolatry. And idolatry is the worst form of sin in the Bible. God hated it with the children of Israel. And he hates it today with the Christian church. That the Christian church trusts so much in the arm of the flesh, running to man all the time, instead of running to God and all these promises that he has given to us in his word. That's why, and the reason being is because we are double-minded. What does he say, James, here? He says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. That is what it does. You have two opinions. You have two minds. Because you're not committed. And that's what happens. You're not sure always. And so you can't resist the devil. You can't walk away when you know you should. And we've all done it. You see, when we resist the devil, we're recognizing what he's up to. You resist him because you've submitted to God, and in submitting to God, he has given you revelation and insight to what he's up to in your life and what he's trying to do. So you see, it's not only a joy and a blessing to submit to God because it's about relationship, but it's also about God opening our eyes to be able to see what the devil is up to. He's out to try and destroy you. He doesn't want you entering the kingdom of heaven. He doesn't want you in relationship with God, an unbroken relationship, that is. And so this then, when we have insight, when we are recognizing what this old serpent is up to, this enables us to draw near to him for strength, which is what we need. That strength is his power taking over in weakness. And he will do it. And so we then see in verse 9, with all that we've been discussing here, he says, lament and mourn and weep. Mourn and weep your joy to gloom. Why do we lament and mourn and weep? Because of what we're talking about. Because we're so vulnerable. We're so stupid at times that we play the devil's game. Instead of discerning what he's up to, what he's trying to do. In other words, I lament, I mourn, I weep, Lord, because of my pride, my stubbornness, my willfulness. That's what he's meaning here. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Because I'm laughing, I've got joy. There's too much joy in my life because of the world. But that isn't the joy of the Lord, which is completely different. The joy and laughter I have is because I get it out of the world. I like it too much. Are you beginning to see now what he's saying here? Instead of the joy of the Lord is my strength, I draw all my blessings from God. And then he says here in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So the only way any of this is going to happen, verse 7, submitting myself, is when I bow the knee. And this is why we make so much about humility, keeping our knees bowed in the presence of God. Because this enables the power of God to preserve and keep you. The moment pride rises up, we're resisting, we're coming against God, God steps back. He hates pride. Why does God hate pride? It started first in his throne room where he resides. It started with Lucifer. He thought he could be God. And a third of the angels also thought he could be God. He could take the throne instead of Almighty God. And at that point, he fell from the Lord's presence. God saw what pride does. And this is why God hates it. He casts it out of his presence because it's completely opposite to him. Pride will always want to be God. Pride means I am in control and not God. And that is what we wrestle with. That is still the problems that we have. And we find because of that, we're not able to submit to God in order to resist the devil. I'm powerless. I'm held. I'm bound. That's why sometimes we have to pray for people or cast out demons. They're fettered. They are tied up. And they want to be loosened. They want to be set free. That's why sometimes we have to cast out demons so that they, in their hearts, then submit to God, because that's what they're crying out for. They've humbled themselves. I want to submit to God. I want him as my commander. And God will move heaven and earth. And that's why the casting out of demons is also so important in the house of God for this very purpose. Remember also that all of this, we turn our mourning into joy and praise because God, Satan hates praise. He hates worship. He hates us giving him all the acknowledgement, all the praise, all the glory. He's after that from you all the time. He doesn't want you acknowledging God and the power of God working in your life. He doesn't want you praising him because he lusted for that praise. He lusted for that glory. And that's why he tried to usurp the throne of God. But it hasn't changed in him. He still wants it. And at times, we give it to him. But God says, if you submit to God, he will open your eyes and you will see this. And then you have the power to resist the devil, and it says he will flee from you. Why will he flee from you? Because he's seeing the one in you saying, get thee behind me, Satan. He sees when you say that to him, he hears God's voice speaking through you in weakness. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Are you beginning to see this now, brothers and sisters, how we overcome? We make it very difficult for ourselves at times, but let us submit ourselves, let us humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Why will he lift you up? Because you've just gone through a battle. It's been a real fight. The enemy's tried to take you. He's tried to take your life or whatever it will be, but he will lift you up. I know a little bit about this. Yesterday, I don't think I would have been able to talk this message to you. I've been through a physical trial over the last few days. And yesterday, I was really poorly. But I knew where God wanted me, He wanted me today to preach this word and just submit to him, wait on him. The devil trying to bring you down. You've got this, you've got that. You better go and get the doctor. You need antibiotics. All, yes, I know what goes on. All gets very vocal in the head. But I know where God wants me, you see. And he's faithful and he raises us up in his strength.
So disaster, let him in constancy fall.